Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Shabbos daf Samach Vav. Today's shir is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, and by my uncle Jack and Aunt Jeanette Blumenkopf for the yard site of Jeanette's mother, Shifra Tzipora Bas Chaim Shmuel, Aleha Shalom, Shamash Rav and Aliyah. And we thank both sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So we're holding out the Mishnah at the very end of Daf Samachem Beis, the last line of Samachem Beis. And the Mishnah is going to discuss an amputee going out, or otherwise people who are disabled going out with items that help them be mobile, that help them get around from one place to another, and whether that's a violation of Hotza'ah. The Gemara is going to discuss which Tana is identified with which Shita in the Mishnah, because that apparently was not entirely clear, and what the tradition was as far as who held what, and that's going to lead to a discussion of whether a wooden shoe counts as a shoe with regard to many different halachos, with regard to chalitza as well, and other halachos, with regard to tumas medris. So then the Gemara is going to have a machlokas whether a wooden leg with a base kibul, if it's not just a wooden leg, but it has a base kibul, it has a receptacle where you can fit some cushioning to make it a little more comfortable on the end of the person's amputated limb, whether it's tameh medris or only tameh tumas meis. It's certainly going to be able to be tameh tumas meis. Question is whether it's also tameh tumas medris. And the Gemara is going, the Mishnah on Amud Beis is going to talk about young men going out with ksharim. So the Gemara is going to identify what kind of ksharim are these young men going out with on Shabbos. What is their function? And that's going to lead into a discussion about different types of refuos on Shabbos, and particularly those refuos that Abaye learned from Aim, that Abaye learned from the woman who raised him, from his adoptive mother. So a lot of refuah related issues in today's daf. So let's begin at the Mishnah on the bottom of daf Samachayim and Beis. And again, we're talking about an amputee or someone who's otherwise immobile, and those items that he uses to be able to get around. So Hakiteya Yotze Bekav Shalo. An amputee can go out with his with the wooden peg that he would put in place of his missing leg. Divrei Rabbi Meir, that's Rabbi Meir Shita, but Rabbi Yossi says that that is not permissible. V'im yesh lo beis kibul ksisin, if the kav has a receptacle where they could put some cushioning in to make it more comfortable for him, so it has an actual beis kibul, then tame, then that kav is going to be able to be mekabel tuma. Nothing about Hilcha Shabbos as far as that's concerned, just as far as Kabbalah's tuma, that since it has a beis kibul, it's a kli that's mekabel tuma. Smuchos shalo, if a person has like knee and shin pads, meaning the person doesn't have feet, but he has legs, so he walks around standing on his knees, but that obviously could scrape up his knees and scrape up his shins, so he has these leather pads that he puts on his knees and his shins, tamei and medris, they are tamei tumas medris, if he is a zav who is tamei tumas medris. There are two specific halachos that relate to tumas medris that make tumas medris unique. First is, even if you don't touch the item, you just put your weight on it, you're also tamei tumas medris. And second is that normally when something is metame something else, tadosehen lav kayotze behen, that which becomes tame goes down a level from the tuma that it from the level of tuma of that which it that which it received it from. But when it comes to tumas medris, the medris hazav is an avatuma, just like the zav himself is an avatuma. So therefore that which touches the medris becomes a rishon l'tuma. So these smuchos, since they're made to lean his entire body on, they are tamei tumas medris, Rashi points out. But the kav hakiteya, the wooden peg that the amputee uses, is not tamei tumas medris, and the Rishonim explain, because it's only used for one of his legs, and it's not used for putting the weight of his entire body on it, only that one leg that's missing. But someone who's a kiteya b'shtei raglav, someone who's missing both legs and goes on these smuchos, so then they're made for the weight of his entire body, and that's why they're tamei tumas medris. But not only is it a din and tum of yotzin ben b'shabbos, one is allowed to go out with these knee pads, shin guards on Shabbos, v'nichnasim ben b'azara, and you're allowed to go into the azara with them, meaning they don't have a din of a shoe. The Gemara in Brachos and Daf Nun Dalet tells us that lo yikanis adam laharabayis b'min minalo. A person's not allowed to wear shoes onto the Har HaBayis. But these smuchos, these pads, do not have a din of a shoe. They go all up the entire length of his thigh and his knees. So they're not considered a shoe, and therefore you're allowed to go into the Azara. Now, the Mishnah never discussed, what about the Kiteya with his peg? What about the amputee with his peg? Is he allowed to go into the Har HaBayis? So Tosas writes in Maseches Yuma, Daf Ayin Ches and Beis, that the reason the Mishnah doesn't mention it is because it's Pashut, that you're not allowed to go into the Azara with it, because it's not so necessary. Or it's Pashut that you are allowed to go, because it's Gavoa Min Haaretz. It's not going to be something that's dragging along the ground, and therefore going to become dirty. So it's not quite like a shoe. Okay, that's the two deos in Tosos. So someone who's a double amputee, where he's not even able to walk on his knees. Let's say the amputee, it's not only his feet that are missing, but it's the entire bottom part of his leg. So he doesn't have knees to walk on. So then they would have a different contraption for such people. They didn't have a wheelchair in the sense that it didn't have wheels, but they had a chair, meaning like a very, it was almost like a low Shiva chair. And it came with, it was in two pieces, where there was one piece where he would lift himself off of, and there was a chair that he was actually tied down to. So the fellow would be, someone showing a picture of it, yeah. So he'd be like tied down to a chair, and then he would have these pegs where he's pushing himself forward using these pegs. Now, as he would lean forward, his knees would hit the ground sometimes. So kisei smucho shelo tamei in medris. The kisei smucho and the smucho shelo, the chair that he's attached to, and the knee pads that he would wear in case his knees hit the, in cases where his stubs hit the ground. So those are tamei medris. Vein yotzen ben b'shabbos, but he cannot go out with them on Shabbos. Because it could be that he'll drop them and he'll come to be metaltal them, he'll come to carry them in Rosh Hashanah. Ve'ein nichnasim ben ba'azara, and he's not allowed to wear them in the Azara either, because they're considered to be a shoe. Luktamin, a mask, or the Gemara will discuss exactly what it is, but one of the possibilities is some type of mask, like to wear as a costume to scare children with, Rashi points out, are tahorin ve'ein yotzen ben. They're tahor mikabel tumah, they're not mikabel tumah, and a person is not allowed to go out with them on Shabbos. So it's interesting, the Mishnah discusses over here a person going out with an amputee, going out in Rosh Hasharabim with his kav, with his wooden leg. So the Mishnah says, according to Rabbi Yossi, it's usher to do that. It's usher to go out with it on Shabbos. And we paskin like Rabbi Yossi in Shulchan Aruch, in Aruch Chaim, Sim Shin Aleph, Sif Tes Vav, that an amputee is not allowed to go out with his kav if there's no Eruv. But there is a machlokas rishonim why it's aser. What exactly is the concern? Rashi, according to the way Tosin Yuma understands Rashi for sure, Rashi says that the reason is it's not considered a beged and it's not considered a tachshit. A minal, a shoe, is only that which is made out of or, that which is made out of leather, not that which is made out of wood, and it's also not a tachshit because he doesn't lean on the kav for the sake of moving around. It's really on the stick that he carries in his hand that he puts the majority of his weight on, and the kav is just there to sort of cover up his mum. It's not really there to help him be mobile. It's just there to cover up the blemish, and that's not enough for it to be considered a tachshit. So it doesn't have a real functional purpose, and it's not a real tachshit. And since it's not a shoe and it's not a tachshit, it's usher to go out with an Rosh Hashanah. And according to Rashi, an isidor raisa, that it's a masoy, that he's not allowed to carry it out into the Rosh Hashanah. However, Tosos quotes Rabbeinu Tam and many other Rishonim in our sugya that say that even Rabbi Yossi is moda that a wooden shoe is considered a shoe. And midor raisa, there's no iser of the amputee going out bekav shalom. It's only an iser midrabanan, because maybe since it's not attached on really well like a shoe would be, it could be there's a concern that it will fall off of his feet and it'll come to carry it in Rosh Hashanah. The reason of Rabbeinu Tam is the one that we paskin lahalacha in the Mishnah Berurah, meaning when the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Shin Aleph quotes this halacha that an amputee may not go out with his kav, Rabbeinu Tam's reason is the reason that the Mishnah Berurah quotes. So when it's really attached very well to his leg, then it's not considered to be a masui, and it will become batel to his leg. So very important nafkamina. The what about today's amputees and prosthetic limbs that people wear today, that people use today? So in Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa, he writes that someone who's an amputee that has a prosthetic is allowed to go out. We're not choshesh that it's going to fall off. These things are made very well, where they don't just fall off all the time. You can take them off rather easily, but they don't fall off. They're fitted very well in place. So, and it's derech shimusho, so that's not considered to be something that's a masui for sure, nor do we have a concern midrabanan that a person is going to come to carry it. Okay, so now says the Gemara, Amalei Rav L'Rav Nachman, Hechitnan, how should we teach the different shitos in our Mishnah? Meaning the girsa that we had was Hakitei Yotze B'Kavshlo Divrei Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi Asard, or should we say no, it should be Ein Hakitei Yotze B'Kavshlo Divrei Meir and Rabbi Yossi is Matir. So which way should we learn this machlokas? Amalei Lo Yadani, says, I don't know, Hilchos Samai. And how do we paskin? I apologize. I don't know why it keeps dropping me. That happened to me twice yesterday in one of my other shiurim. The Zoom keeps dropping me. So anyway, so he asked him, which way should we have the girsa? Lo yadan, I don't know. Hilchos Amai, and how do we paskin on this issue? Samarle, lo yadan, he says again, I don't know. Itmar, Omer, Shmuel, Eina Kiteya. Shmuel said the correct girsa is Eina Kiteya, and Rabbi Yossi's Matir, the opposite of what we have in our Mishnah. V'chein Omer Rav Huna, Eina Kiteya. Omer Rav Yosef, Hol V'Omer Shmuel, Eina Kiteya. V'Omer Rav Huna, Eina Kiteya. Ananami Nisni, Eina Kiteya. Well, you have two major authorities, Shmuel and Rav Huna, who have the girsa that Eina Kiteya, and then that Rabbi Yossi Matir, so it seems that that's the correct girsa. Maskefla, Rav Bar Shira, Lo Shmieluhu, Had Maskin, the Rav Chan Barav, Luchia Barav, Kame the Rav, Bikitona de Rav. They didn't hear what he taught in the small base medrash of Rav, that Einak te Yossi Bekav Shalom, Divrei Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yossi Matir, Umachvi Le Rav, Epoch. And then when they were teaching that, Rav made a sign, a motion to say, no, switch it around, you got it backwards, that it should really be the Rabbi Yossi Asers, like we have in our Mishnah. Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak V'Simana, the way to remember the correct Yirsa, Samach Samach, Rabbi Yossi Oser. So they both have a Samach in the word. Rabbi Yossi has a Samach in his name, and Oser has a Samach, so that's the way to remember which one holds which Shita. V'Av Shmuel Hadabein, even Shmuel, who thought that the Girsa in our Mishnah was incorrect, Shmuel ultimately changed his mind. It's not, because we have a Mishnah in Misachas Yevamos as far as Chalitza is concerned, where the Mishnah discusses the mitzvah saseh min haTorah to do chalitza if one does not want to do yibum. Chaltza b'sandal she'ena shalo. If you do a chalitza with a sandal that does not belong to the yavam, or b'sandal shal eitz, a wooden shoe, or shal small b'yamin, or a left shoe on the right foot, chalitza k'sher, the chalitza is still going to be kosher. V'armin and man tana, we said, who is the tana that said that a chalitza is kosher with a wooden sandal? That's the part that we're interested in, that we're focused on. Amr Shmuel, Rabbi Meir, he. Shmuel says, Rabbi Meir holds that a wooden shoe is considered a shoe. Ditnan, how does he know that? Because our Mishnah, Hakitei Yotze B'Kav Shalom, Divrei Meir, Rabbi Yossi Oser, that the Rabbi Meir is one that says that a kiteya, that an amputee can go out with his wooden shoe, so to speak. So you see that apparently it's called a shoe, and Rabbi Yossi is the one that says that you're not allowed to do it. So you see, ultimately, the fact that Shmuel is the one that said this, that it's Rabbi Meir, Shmuel associated the shita that a wooden shoe counts as a shoe with Rabbi Meir. So you see that Shmuel changed his mind and ultimately accepted the girsa that we have in our Mishnah, that Rabbi Meir is the one that says that it's mutter, and Rabbi Yossi is the one that says that it's aser. So the Gemara seems to associate these, not seems, the Gemara clearly associates the din of chalitza with the din of going out with it on Shabbos. And this makes a lot of sense if you learn like Shitas Rashi, that the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi is, do we say that since it's not made out of leather, it should not be considered a shoe, or do we say that even though it's not made out of leather, it can still be considered a shoe? So I understand that Shmuel is going to associate the shita of Rabbi Meir, who says that yes, it's still considered a shoe, with the shita that relates to chalitza, using such a wooden shoe for chalitza. But according to Tosfos, that we mentioned before, that even Rabbi Yossi's moda, that a kav is considered a shoe, even if it's not made out of leather. And the reason that you're not allowed to go out with it on Shabbos is because it might fall off, and you might come to carry it. So then what in the world does it have to do with chalitza? How do you associate the two dinim with each other? By chalitza, it's all dependent on whether it's called a shoe. But according to Tosfos' understanding, everyone holds it's called a shoe. That's not the issue over here. So Tosfos explains on Samachayim and Beis, in Dibra Maschel Hakiteya, on the bottom Tosfos over there, that just like Rabbi Yossi Aser is going out with the kav on Shabbos, because since it's not made out of leather, it's not going to be attached very well to the foot, and therefore there's a concern it might fall off. So too with chalitza, we should passel the chalitza with a wooden shoe, because since it's not a shoe that it's practical to walk around with, it's like chalitza with an ill-fitting shoe, which is also not going to be kosher. So that's the connection between chalitza. Not that it doesn't have a shame of a shoe, it is called a shoe, but because it's so ill-fitting, by Shabbos we're concerned it's going to fall off and you're going to carry it. And when it comes to chalitza, an ill-fitting shoe is not good. If it doesn't fit properly, it's not good. So every wooden shoe is considered to not fit properly. Va'af Rav Huna Adabe, Rav Huna also changed his mind and ultimately stuck with our gears in the Mishnah to Tanya, because the Brisa tells us, sandal shel sayadin, if a person who works with plaster has a wooden shoe to protect his feet from the plaster, tame medris, that wooden shoe is tame medris, v'isha choletzis bo, and it's kosher to do chalitza with, v'yotzin bo b'shabbos, and you're allowed to go out with it on Shabbos, div Rabbi Kiva, that's Rabbi Kiva shita, v'lo hodolo, and the other chachamim did not agree with Rabbi Akiva, v'atanan, and they ask them, but wait, and Mishnah in the second paragraph of Sech Zedios tells us, hodolo, that the other chachamim did agree to Rabbi Akiva, that the sandal shel sayadin is tame medris, so which is it? Did the other Chacham agree or disagree with Rabbi Akiva about the sandal shel sayadin? And Amar Rav Huna, Rav Huna is the one that says, man hodulo, who's the one that holds that this wooden shoe is called a shoe? Rabbi Meir. That's Rabbi Meir who says in our Mishnah that the Kiteya is Yotzei Bekav Shelo, because he holds that a wooden shoe is called a shoe. So you see, Rav Huna is the one that associates the Shita that allows going out with the Kav with Rabbi Meir. So that's how we know Rav Huna also ultimately changes his mind and goes with our Girsa. Uman lo hodulo, and who's the Tana that did not agree to Rabbi Akiva? That's Rabbi Yossi, because in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi Yoser, Rabbi Yossi says that a wooden shoe, the way Rashi understands, is not a shoe, and therefore you're not allowed to go out with it on Shabbos. The Gemara brings another way to answer the steer from the Mishnah to the Braisa as to whether the Chacham were modet Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Yosef Amar, man lo hodulo, Rabbi Yochum Benuri, maybe the person who did not agree to Rabbi Akiva, to Rabbi Akiva allowing the plasterer's shoe to go out with on Shabbos is Rabbi Yochum Benuri. The Tanan, because the Mishnah tells us Kaveres Shalkash. There's a Mishnah that tells us even though the Rishonim point out already, the Achronim point out rather, that this Mishnah doesn't exist really anywhere in this form, but there are similar such Mishnayas. So apparently there's some type of Mishnah that tells us Kaveres Shalkash, Ushvaferes Shalkanim, if you have a basket that's made out of straw, or you have a tube made out of a reed, Rabbi Akiva Metame. Rabbi Akiva says that it's Tame, Rabbi Yochum Benuri Metahar, and Rabbi Yochum Benuri says that it's Tahar. So Rabbi Yochum Benuri holds that since it's not normal to make a basket out of straw, normally you'd make a basket out of reeds, so it's not considered a kli, and it's not Makabal Tuma. And therefore, a shoe also, it's not normal to make a shoe out of anything but leather, and therefore it's not going to be considered a shoe, and it's not going to be Mekabel Tuma. So that's the lo hodulo, that's where the Chacham disagreed with Rabbi Akiva. Not about in general whether a wooden shoe is considered a shoe with regard to Hilchos Shabbos, but even more broadly, is anything but leather, since it's not normal to make a shoe out of leather, can anything but leather even be considered a kli to begin with, just like a basket that's made out of an abnormal material to make baskets out of would not be considered a kli. Amar Mar, we mentioned earlier, sandal shel sayadin tamei medris, that the sandal that the plaster maker, that the guy who produces the plaster, works with plaster, wears, is tamei medris. So a lovely luchavdi asked the Gemara, but you don't use it to walk around with it. It's just there to protect his shoes so that they shouldn't get ruined from the plaster that he's working with. So why is it Mekabel Tumas Medrus? It's not something that's made for walking. Tosfos points out in the name of the Ri that something is not Mekabel Tumas Medrus unless it's made for that purpose, to either it's made as something to lean on, or if it's a shoe, made as something to walk on, meaning depending on what it looks like, it has to serve that function of what it's supposed to be. So if it looks like a couch, then it doesn't have to be something that you walk on, it just has to be something that you would sit on. But if it looks like a shoe, it has to be something that you would have to walk on in order for it to be considered a real shoe. So how come it's Tamei Medrus? So Amar Avacha Bar Avula Shekein Asayin Metayil Bo Ad Shemigil Beiso. He does walk on it from work to get back home. He walks on this type of shoe, and therefore it is considered to be Tamei Tumas Medrus. V'miyesh lo beis kibul ksisin Tamei. So the Mishnah said that if it has if the wooden shoe or the peg that the amputee uses has a base kibble and there's cushioning in the base kibble, then it's tameh. So Amar Abaye, tameh tumas meis vein tameh medrus. What kind of tuma? It means it's able to be mekabel tumas meis, but not tumas medrus. Rav Amar af tameh medrus. No, it could even become tameh tumas medrus. Amar Rav mina aminala. How do I know that it could become tameh even tumas medrus? That's not the Mishnah said. As a Maseches Beitza, Agola Shel Katan. If you have a wagon that children play with, Tamei Midrus, it's Tamei Midrus if the Katan is a Zav and sat in that wagon. And so the Agala itself will become an Avatuma, because that's how children play with it. They sometimes sit in it, and one of them will pull the other one around. So therefore, it's Tamei Tumas Medrus. So what do you see from there? That any time you sometimes use it for Medrus, it's considered Medrus. Most of the time, the children will put their dolls in it or whatever, their toys in it, and schlep it around with their toys in it. Every once in a while, a kid will hop in, and his friend will pull him with it. So it's something that that's only sometimes used in that way, and yet it's still Tamei Tumas Medrus. So that says Rava, the same should be true when it comes to the when it comes to the base kibble of the amputee's wooden leg that has the base kibble, that if it sometimes uses a medrus, it's Tamei Tumas Medrus. Rabbi says not a raya. Hasam samichi lavei, hachalo samichi lavei. Over there by the wagon, he puts his full weight on it. The kid jumps into the wagon, but over here by the kav of the kiteya of the amputee, he doesn't put his full weight on it. He's walking with a cane, and he doesn't put his weight on that side of his body. So how do I know my halacha that I said that it's not Tamei Tumas Medrus? Tanya, because we have a brisa that tells us makal shel zakenim. If you have a cane that an elderly person uses to help him walk, Torah miklum. It's not mekabel tumah at all. It's not mekabel tumas medrus because it's not made to lean one's full weight on it, because a person is using his foot partially, he's using his leg partially. So even though he sometimes leans the most of his weight on the cane, and it's not tamei any other tumah because it's pshute kliyet. And pshute kliyet doesn't have a base kibble, so it's not going to be mekabel tumah. But bottom line is, you see that something that's primarily not made for a medrus, even though you sometimes do lean on it, it's not mekabel tumas medrus. So the same should be true about the base kibble in the kav shel kiteya. V'Rava, and Rava would respond to that, no, hasam, when it comes to the cane, tzurutzi sugya avida, it's made to stand him up straight when he walks, so that he shouldn't have to lean his entire body on it. But over here, by the kav shel kiteya, he really does lean his entire body on it, and therefore sometimes he does really lean on it, so it is mekabel tumas medrus, meaning it's used in a more with more weight placed on it than a cane would be, and therefore it's more of a medrus than a cane would be a medrus. Okay, then the Mishnah said, "Tamei and Midrus ve'ein yotzim mem b'Shabbos ve'ein nichnasim mem la'azara." That the kisei and the smucha shalo, the little low chair and the things that he uses, the pegs that he uses to push him forward as he's on that chair, are tamei medrus, and he's cannot go out with them on Shabbos, and he can't go into the azara. Tani tana kamed Rabbi Yochanan nichnasim mem la'azara. So they taught a brice in front of Rabbi Yochanan that yes, you can go into the azara with them. Amrlei ani shona isha choletzes bo va'atav nichnasim. Tani ein nechlasen ben la zare. So Rabbi Yochanan said to the Chacham who taught him that brisa, he says, I'm telling you that a woman could even do chalitza with it, meaning obviously it's considered a shoe, and you're telling me you're allowed to go into the azara with it? It's a shoe! So you have to change your teaching. You must be saying it wrong. The brisa should read that ein nechlasen ben la zare, that you are not allowed to go into the azara with such an item because it counts like a shoe. Lukutmin tahora. So we said a luktmin is tahora. What is a luktamin? My luktamin? So I'm Rabbi Yavo, chamara da akafa. It's something that looks like a donkey that you're riding on, meaning like something like a costume kind of thing, where you put it around your waist or something and it looks like you're riding on a donkey. Rav bar papa amar kshiri. It's these tall poles that you would attach to your foot. So when you're going in, they're like stilts almost, when you're going in a very muddy place, but you know, stilts, not as a clown, as an entertainer, when you're going in a muddy area and you don't want to get your shoes full of mud, so you wear these stilts to get through the mud. Rava Barafuna Amar Prami, that it's a mask that has some other image on it that you use to scare children, if that's what you're into, if that's what you enjoy doing. So the Mishnah goes on to tell us, Habanim Yotzen Beksharim, young boys are allowed to go out with their knots. So the Gemara is going to discuss what in the world that is. What kind of knots do young men have? Ubnei Melachim Bezugin. And princes go out with the bells that they wear for decorative purposes. It's not only about a prince, it's really anybody. The Chum are just speaking in the most common situation. The Gemara in tomorrow's daf is going to discuss what this Mishnah means. Is this Mishnah going dafka like the sheet of Rabbi Shimon that holds Kol Yisrael b'nei Malachim Heim? Or is the Mishnah going even according to the Rabbanan who do not hold that Kol Yisrael b'nei Malachim Heim? But we'll get to that part of the Mishnah tomorrow. First, we're going to discuss the first part of the Mishnah. Mike Sharim, what are these knots that these young men would go around wearing? So, Amar Adamari, Amar Av Nachman Bar Baruch, Amar Av Ashi Bar Avin, Amar Av Yehuda, Kshurei Pua. They're knots of different herbs, of an herb called the Pua, that they would hang on their around their necks for the sake of refuah. It had some therapeutic value to it. So the Gemara explains this refuah and how many of these knots you would need in order to achieve this refuah. So Amar Abaye Amar Li Aim. Abaye credits Aim with teaching him this. Aim does not mean his actual mother, because the Gemara Maseches Kiddushin Daf Lamed Aleph tells us that Abaye's mother died in childbirth. It means the woman who raised him. So we would credit her with a lot of things that she taught him about life. So one thing that she taught him was Talasa Mukmi, that if you have three of these knots, if the person already has this illness, the illness will not spread. Chamisha Masu, if he has five of these knots, it will actually cure the illness. Shiva Afilu Lukshafim Mali, and if he has seven of these knots, it will even protect him from Kishuf, from outside sources, such as Kishuf affecting him. Amar Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, Uhud Lo Chazi Leishim Shavisiera. Well, it doesn't always work. There are a lot of qualifications you have to have. First of all, it has to be that the Chola doesn't see the sun or the moon, Velo Chazi Mitra, and that he doesn't see any rain, Velo Shmile Kol Barzila, and he doesn't hear the sound of a hammer banging, Vekol Tarnagolta, nor can he hear a rooster, Vekol Nigri, or the sound of footsteps. So Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Nafal Puta Bebeira. Oh, there goes that refua. Who doesn't see the sun or the moon, or hear rain or hear footsteps? I mean, it's impossible. A person would have to be completely isolated in a cave somewhere in order for him to have this refua work for him. It's not shayich that the would work. So Ma'iri Banim Afilu Banos Nami. The Gemara says, but wait a second. Even if this is something that's about refuah, why is it only for young men? What about the young ladies? What about the little girls? How come they don't have such a refuah? So why wouldn't it work for them? So Ma'iri Katanim Afilu Gadolim Nami. And also, why only for young people? What about people who are over Barabbas Mitzvah? Shouldn't it work for them as well? Don't they also require a refuah? So Elamaik Sharim says, Gemara, let's modify it a little bit. It is something that's refuah related, but it's as follows. Ki Adam Er Oven Bar Huna Amar Rav Chaba Bar Gurya Ben Sheyesh Gaguin Alaviv. It's a refuah for specifically homesickness. If you have a child that very much misses his father and he has a hard time separating from his father, Notel Ritzua Miminel Shal Yamin V'Koshal Abismolo. They take a strap from his right shoe, and they tie it on his left hand. And that's a skula that will cure him of his gaguim for his father. So now you understand why it says banim, because this refuah is more for little boys than it is for little girls, because they do it only for a ben who misses his father. It's not shaykh so much for the little girls, because the assumption is that the girl doesn't have that that relationship with her father at a very young age, where there's going to be where there's going to be these gaguin, these strong longings to be with the father. I don't know. That's what Rashi says. I would think my daughter would miss me a lot more than my sons would miss me if they ever go away somewhere. But okay, I don't know. Maybe times have changed. Amrav Nachum Bar Yitzchak v'simanayich tefillin, and the siman to remember how they would do this is tefillin. The tefillin shel yad is that your right hand ties it onto your left. V'chilufa, and if you do it the opposite way, you take a left strap and tie it on the right hand, sakanta, then it's going to be a very dangerous thing. Not sure, we don't know exactly how these refuos work. Amr Avin Bar Huna, Rabbi Kivega writes in Shulchan Aruch, in Yaradeya, he quotes, I think, from... I forget, maybe from a Sefer Hasidim, that you're not allowed to try the refuos of Shas because they're dangerous, but you're not allowed to try refuos of Shas because they're not going to work, because we don't know how to use them properly, and when they don't work, you're going to be melagleg al divrei chachamim. You're gonna come to the name of the Ma'aril, Shemishul says, okay, you're gonna come to be melagleg al divrei chachamim. You're gonna come to mock the divrei chachamim, and that's a problem. That you're gonna be melagleg al divrei chachamim, that people aren't gonna respect what the chachamim have to say, and it's only because of our lack of understanding of what they meant. Amar Avin Bar Huna, Amar Avcham Bar Gurya, Sachufe Kosa Atiburi B'Shabata, taking a coast that has steam in it, like hot water in it, and putting it on someone's stomach, Shapir Dami. You're allowed to do that on Shabbos. That's not a violation of Refuah on Shabbos. Amar Avin Bar Huna, Amar Avcham Bar Gurya, Mutu Lasuch Shemenu Melech B'Shabbos. The person is allowed to put oil and salt on his on his limbs on Shabbos in order to take away the effect of his drunkenness on Shabbos. When Rav Huna came from his Rabbi's house, Rav Mibei Rabbi Chia, and Rav from Rabbi Chia's house, Rabbi Chia Mibei Rabbi, and Rabbi Chia from Rabbi's house, Kevin Mibasmi, when they were drunk, Maisi Mishcha Milcha, they would use oil and salt, Veshaivilu Gav Yasa Diadayu, Gav Yasa Dekraayu, and they would rub it on the outside of their hands and the outside of their feet, on the tops of their hands and their feet, Va'amri, Kiecha Ditzil Ha Mishcha, just like this oil is clear, and so too our minds should be cleared up from the wine that has affected us. Be low, and if you don't have these things, or it doesn't work, you should bring a cover of a barrel, and you should soak it in water, and you should say, just like this barrel has become clear from the water that it's soaking in, so too the effects of the wine should leave us. Someone who has some sort of a problem with his neck and his spine, so he could hang him by his head so that it straightens out his neck on Shabbos. It's a type of refuah to sort of work out the cracks or in the some type of chiropractic trick. They could also wrap a baby to straighten the baby's limbs on Shabbos Shapir Dami. That's okay to do. Rav Papa Masni Banim, Rav Zin Masni Ben. Rav Papa taught two halachos about what you do to a young boy, and Rav Zvid taught one halacha about refuos that you do for a young child, for a young boy. Rav Papa Masni Banim, he taught two halachos relating to refuah for a young boy, Vitarvay Masni Luhu, Ba'avin Barhuna. And he taught them both in the name of Avin Barhuna, in the name of Rav Chama Bar Gurya. There were the halachos that we already mentioned. The first one, that Ben Katan, who misses his father very much, you tie this strap around his left arm, and that's going to help him. And the second one, we just said, that you could wrap the baby in a cloth to straighten his limbs. Rav Zid Masni Ben, Kamaisa Masni Ba'Oven Barhuna. The first one he had as Oven Barhuna. V'hai Masni B'Rabba Barbachana. But the second one he only had from Rabba Barbachana. Da'am Rabba Barbachana Lufufa Yenuka B'Shabbat Shab B'Dami. That was Rabba Barbachana who said that you're allowed to wrap the baby. So the question is, they don't disagree in halacha. They disagree with how many of these statements Oven Barhuna said, and whether the second statement is attributable to somebody else. Amar Abayi Amrli Eim. Abayi says, my adoptive mother also taught me another halacha, or another teaching rather. Kol minyani b'shmadi ima. Anytime you say a lachash, anytime you say something, an incantation that's supposed to be meant for refuah, you always say the name of the sick person's mother, not the name of his father. V'kol kitri, and any knots that you use for refuah, b'smala, you do it on the left hand. V'amar Abayi Amrli Eim, kol minyani d'mefarshi, or any lachash that you say for refuah, that you have to say X number of times, kid the mefarshi, always go with that correct number of times, udalom mefarshi. But if it doesn't include in the book of refuos how many times you're supposed to say that incantation, then arba'in v'chad zimni, then you assume it means 41 times. That's the default number if it doesn't say exactly how many times you're supposed to say it. Why is it that when you're davening for the chola, or you're saying this lachash for the chola, that you should dafka use the mother's name and not the father's name? So the Tshuvas Torah Lashma, I mean, Shin Sadites, is daf yomi coincidence, right? The day after Mother's Day. He asks why it is that when you're davening for a chola, or you're writing a kameya, that you mention the name of the mother of the chola, not the name of the father of the chola. After all, Pasuk tells us in Chumash and in the Parshas Bamidbar, l'mishpachosam l'veis havosam, that a person's yichus is determined by his father, whether he's a Kohen, whether he's a Levi, it's determined by his father, not determined by his mother. What shevet he comes from, determined by his father. So the Torah Lishma says, well, the raya is from our sugya, that any lachash that one says for refuah, you use the mother's name, but the sugya doesn't explain why that is. So he suggests because the mother has fewer drawbacks in terms of the zechuyos that she has, meaning that there are zechuyos that a father will not have that a mother will have, because the mother is first of all not chayiv mitzvah shazman grama, so she has less of a chance that she neglected mitzvos, because there are fewer mitzvos that she's chayiv in, and more importantly, he says a woman is not chayiv in Talmud Torah, and therefore she doesn't have the avera of bittul Torah, and when a person is ill, the avera of bittul Torah is something that can really come back to haunt them. So, and third, he suggests that since a mother's identity is most clear, everyone knows exactly who the person's mother is. She carried him for 9 months. So since the mother's identity is very clear, so he's much more closely associated with the mother. By a father, we assume that the person is his father, because rov bi'ilos achar abal. We rely on a rov, but it's not as clear of a relationship. So for these reasons and more, he has other reasons as well, he says we always go with the mother. But the truth is, after a person dies, we no longer use the name of the mother. At that point, we switch to the name of the father after a person dies. So that's what the Achronim explain, that that the reason that changes is based on what the Ramban writes in Sefer Vayikra, that the mother contributes the chomer and the father contributes the tzura. Whatever that means. That means the physical element of the person is contributed by the mother more so than the father, and the tzura by the father more so than the mother. When the person is alive, he's a physical being, so we call him Ben, his mother. When the person is dead, it's only a neshama, so we call him Ben, the father. That's what the Achronim say. So Tan Rabbanan, Yotzin Bevin Tkuma B'Shabbos. A woman can go out in Rosh Hashanah carrying a certain type of stone that will not break, and it's a skula not to have a miscarriage. Mishum Rameir Amru Af B'Mishkal that he Evin Tkuma. Even if she doesn't have the stone itself, but something that has the equivalent weight of such a stone, she can go out with that on Shabbos as well. Loshi Pila, and it's not only if she's already had a problem of miscarriages, Elishema Tapil, it's enough, it's to protect her lest she come to miscarriage. Veloshi Ibra, and it doesn't even have to be that she's pregnant already. Elishema Tzaber Vitapil, even if she's not pregnant, she can carry this stone around because it's considered a refuah that she's gonna, that even for a makkah that hasn't happened yet, that she's not even eligible for yet, but she might become pregnant and miscarry, so she's allowed to carry it around. Amr Rav Yemer B'Shlami Mishmei Da'Abaye, Vudi kavin viitkal. That's only if it worked out that the weight that the stone that she's carrying weighs exactly as much as the stone that they use for the for this segula, for this miscarriage. But if you had to chisel it down a little bit in order to make it the same weight, or you had to add to it in order to make it the same weight, then it doesn't work. It has to be naturally the same weight as this original stone. By mishkal de mishkal mai. What if you didn't weigh it directly against this Evan Tekuma? You had an Evan Tekuma that you weighed against a weight, and then you took that weight and you weighed it against this item that you're carrying. So now, are you allowed to do that? Are you allowed to carry that? Is that the same as the original counterweight? So Teku, the Gemara leaves that as an unresolved question, whether you're allowed to carry that. Another thing that is adopted mother taught him. For a fever that's one day old, lishkol zuzu chivara, you should take a silver coin. By the way, a podiatrist emailed me yesterday about why it is that silver affects the feet. Remember, we had the thing about silver coin in the feet. He said that there are still things that they use that have silver content for the feet. I don't remember the whole explanation, but he said that the Talmud was way ahead of its time in terms of figuring out the qualities that silver has in terms of affecting the feet. Okay, so anyway, v'leza l'milchasa, he should go to a place that has a lot of salt, v'litkol mitkali milcha, and he should take its weight in salt, v'litzari b'chalala d'beit tzavar, and he should put it around the neck hole of his garment, b'nira barka, in a strand of round hair, v'ilo, and if he doesn't and if he doesn't have these items, or he did it and it didn't work, so another option is late of a precious rachim, he should sit by the crossroads, v'chichazi shum shemana gamla, and when he sees a large ant, didari midi, that's schlepping a big bundle, lishkalei, he should take the ant, v'lishadi begufta d'nechasha, and he should put it into this copper tube, v'listamei ba'avara, and seal it with lead, v'lichtamei b'shitim gushpanki, and he should seal it with 60 seals, lubarzule, and he should shake it up, velidre, and he should carry it, velemele, and he should say, tu'una chalai, tu'una yalach, that my burden should be on you, and your burden should be on me. So I'm ravashi, but maybe that ant has already been used by somebody else for the same purpose, he should say that my burden and your burden should be on you. He shouldn't accept any of the burden that the ant is already carrying, v'lo, and if that doesn't work, lishkol kuzachad, he should take a small kli cheres, v'lezel nahara, go to the river, v'lemele, and he should say, nahara, nahara, river, river, osfan kuza demaya, you lend me a jug full of water, lo'orcha de'ikli, for the road that I'm going on, v'lahadr shav zimni al reshe, and you should turn it around 7 times on its head, v'lashadim l'achuri, and you should throw it behind him to the river, v'lemele, and you should say to the river, nahara, nahara, shkol maya de'avtali, take back the water that you gave to me, because the path that you've sent me on has come in a day and will go away in a day, and that way the fever will go away. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with Amar Rav Huna at the very end of the page. Everyone should have a great day.